For November 2nd, 2011, it's November 15th, and Video Games Hot Dog. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
And we're saving it for the podcast, Video Games Hot Dog. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
Have you been since the last time we did a Video Games Hot Dog?
Drunker?
Yeah.
Drunker? Are you drunker now than you were during the last episode?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Don't you always have exactly the same number of margaritas before the show?
No, I have one or two, but then I have been, recently I've just been stopping, and today I'm continuing with some scotch.
I see.
Which sometimes gives me headaches. And I'm going to see, combining
of the tequila and the scotch gives you headaches.
I mean, I have no idea.
That's your claim.
Yeah, it's a theory. Who knows? But I'm going to try it today and see if I get another headache.
Are you sure you're not just like getting your period?
Could be that.
Okay.
You know, it's been at least a month. Yeah. So
the gin and tonics tend to give me headaches, but I find if I drink a glass of water immediately after finishing it, then I'm usually all right.
Wait, like a single drink gives you a headache?
Yeah.
I don't think you're
That's
cut
why
out for
I don't
drinking
drink much. Yeah.
Well, what you do is you drink a second drink, and that gets rid of your headache.
Oh, I see.
And then that convinces you that it's a good idea to drink a third drink, which gives you another headache.
I see.
So it's like the headache cycle.
And then eventually you wake up in, I don't know, California or something. And
yeah, California. That's the exotic. Well, that was
California where... or Mars.
Okay. I don't know.
The center of California.
Is that on your
to-do
list?
Where the geographic center of California is.
You want to travel to the center of California?
Probably like Lake Tahoe or something.
Have you been up to anything of interest?
I haven't. There was Halloween, but I've already talked about that on every other podcast. Mm-hmm. Literally every podcast. Also, since last week, I was a guest on every podcast.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's got to keep you busy.
Yeah.
I'm still exercising.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm up to...
You're up to 350 pounds.
Yeah. I'm up to 15 minutes if you count the... Starting out with 10 minutes of walking and 30 seconds of walking to cool down afterwards. So I have increased my jogging time by 30 seconds.
So from 4 minutes to 4 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah.
How often do you do it?
I've been trying to do it every day except on weekends. And then if I like miss a day, I'll do it on Saturday.
You know, somebody wrote in and said... really important exercise thoughts for Riff. This is Willie Zhang.
Yeah.
With a name like Willie Zhang, that guy sounds fast. It's like, who was that guy? I just heard this Zhang.
Zhang.
Yeah, and then all my stuff was gone. Really important. Interval training requires you to run flat out, which is dangerous for someone who collapsed after 4 minutes of jogging. It's not for novices, despite sounding easy due to the small time commitment.
No,
also,
totally. The website that I saw that looked at, I didn't get an opportunity to mention this at the time, but it said very specifically, do not try to do this until you can jog for half an hour without feeling bad.
Right.
So maybe I'll be up to that point by March.
So like if you jog for half an hour and then you're like, fuck, man, it's been like 3 months since I talked to my mom. Then you still shouldn't do it. Or like,
even just this little bit, though, I feel like I've lost a little weight. My pants are loosening.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Are you sure that's just, that's not the
Subway
diet?
Yeah.
You got a bad case of fogelitis. Anyway, he says also there's no such thing as targeted fat loss exercises. You either lose it or you don't.
I mean, I said something to that
you
effect.
You did, sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, losing any fat loses all fat.
Losing any fat is good. And then there's another website that suggested I exercise whatever the name of the muscle is that is the muscle you use to suck in your gut.
The cream master.
And that will help.
I think the cream master is the muscle that you use to ejaculate.
Oh, I see.
It's funny.
That is
that's
kind
true.
Of funny.
Yeah, it is pretty funny. I mean, I think it's cremaster.
Yeah.
But it's funnier to say cream master. Yeah, you exercise the sucking in your gut muscle and then it gets stronger and then you have muscles instead of guts. Like what you don't know about guys who are like super ripped and have a six pack, they have like hundreds of pounds of gut fat compressed into the space behind their ripped ass abs.
Oh, wow.
That's why their voices are always so strange.
Just to finish this guy's...
Well, if they've been taking steroids.
Oh.
Right, and that's also why they have tits.
Yeah.
Finishing this guy's email just so we don't have to read it later. Also, thanks for... Anyways, keep... up the good work on being slightly off the mainstream. Game podcasts are great, except when they only talk about the next 10-plus million blockbuster. I can judge those myself. You can judge a lot of things yourself, apparently. Like Riff's exercise regime. But that's okay. You're still the fastest Willy in the West. You guys, yeah, I was really hoping to talk about the next $10+ million blockbuster today. I am pretty fucking excited about Skyrim.
Yeah.
I have to confess being pretty excited about Skyrim.
When's it released?
10 days, 8 days.
Oh, wow.
The 11th, yeah.
It's coming up soon.
Yeah.
The pre-order cool. I did comes with a free map.
Well, like a cloth map? Wall.
I don't think it's cloth, but it's nice and parchmenty.
You talk
designed.
About these maps. I haven't yet to see a map that's been actually displayed.
I have not got around to measuring them for the frames yet.
I see.
Maybe I'll do that this weekend.
All right.
Just all measuring right. them.
Well... yeah, probably.
Okay.
To be realistic.
Because yes. that doesn't, yeah. That seems like something that it would be hard not to do. I mean, I'm accidentally measuring shit all the time.
whoops, where'd this ruler come from?
One of the things that I did in the past week was look through some of my old notebooks from when I was 8.
Still spelunking in that cave?
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like people really have enjoyed the early... Really
yeah, we've
Kevin
gotten some,
stuff,
we've gotten
so.
Some good comments, mostly from people who know you in real life. So yeah. I don't know how well that generalizes out okay, to the listening audience enough. In general, but we'll give it a shot.
Well, no, there were definitely some people that were strangers that were like,
sure,
talking about how awesome it was.
Yeah, the 3456 computer program that was referenced in our previous podcast yeah. today is proof of that.
So I don't understand this page at all in my notebook. It is, I have written up top and underlined. Student council is cool! Exclamation point. And then underneath that exclamation point was another exclamation point, and underneath that one was another exclamation point. And then there is a clipping of some kind of what looks like typewritten notes, which I would say would be a photocopy, but I don't know if the photocopiers exist in 85.
So this is like a scrapbook. It's like a scrapbook page.
Yeah, photocopiers
definitely existed in 1985.
Did they? I don't know. Because yeah. we had mimeograph machines in
Well, sure,
in my
they were
cheap.
Mimeographs were cheaper, and your school probably still had one because that's what they'd been using
okay.
since
yeah,
the 70s.
I don't, as a kid, I didn't really have a sense of like what when all these things existed. All right, so October 30th, 1985, 3:15. Christiane was president. She asked Gretel to be secretary. 1. Different kinds of school spirit days were discussed. Hat day, backwards day, vest day, November 15th. Future day, painted nose day.
So, like, that was a day where you just pretend that it's November 15th.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
2. Picked people to talk about some money backing from PTO. Ari Zelmanow volunteered. Sorry, Ali. Ari, if you're a listener, I just outed you. All right. 3. Having a movie night.
You owe student council that money.
3. Having a movie night. 25 cents for kids. 50 cents for adults. Further discussion if we get the money from PTO. Terry Brunette, secretary.
That seems like a thing that you made up.
I have
this
no
seems like
idea.
You made how, up fake student council notes.
How old were you when you
I
wrote that?
I was 8, right? So I was in
8
second
years old
grade.
And you were already keeping minutes of meetings like you do for us now.
You couldn't have done that.
I was
you,
8. I don't know. I don't think
you produced that if you don't even know whether or not a photocopier existed.
Yeah, right?
That's
exactly.
what I'm saying.
Okay. And so then in the back of this notebook also...
Oh, by the way, guys, tomorrow is hat day at the office.
Yeah, so this... so there's another computer in here. With this one, it has 14 buttons. It's got the numbers 0 through 9, and then track, super track, radar, and super radar.
Why would you ever hit the regular
I don't know.
Radar button?
I don't know.
Maybe it's more expensive.
Anyway, so the program 0, 1, 5, 6 equals space.
Wow, so that's a lot of keystrokes if you want to type out a paragraph.
Yeah, yeah that's broad.
0, 1, 5, 7 equals science. And then 0, 7, 3, 1, 7, 8, 9, 2, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 equals social studies.
I mean, it's a more complicated subject, right? Like, there's a lot, like space, there's only a handful of things that can be there, but social studies, like, you got people wearing hats, you got people wearing vests.
You got November 15th.
I'm so tempted to read the next one.
You've got painted nose day.
It's just a mess.
I mean, maybe you shouldn't read the entire list of numbers. I think they get it.
No, it's just so awesome though. It's like 1 1 7 2 3 5 super track 1 2 like it goes on for about 3 or 4 lines like this, and then it resolves to the number 6.
Okay. That was pretty good. Are you sure that's actually a resolution and not just like the start of the next program?
No, I don't know. I like it, you know.
Or wait, maybe you just left the 6 button off and that was how you press 6.
That's true. There are no 6s.
See, you should have had a bon and a super bon button, and then you could have like had a sequence that was soul coughing song.
That's true. That's true. I'll continue to try to delve through my childhood to come up with some highlights.
Good. We need to make a game where we can actually put textures on objects in the world so that we can start making some of these computers a reality. Your computer, you could have been one of the science fair. If you had buddies at Valve, you could have been one of the science fair projects in Portal 2.
That one program
would have been really enthusiastic about that. You know, that one, the personality core would have been really enthusiastic about that space.
Exactly.
Program. I mean, maybe you invented a space program.
I was gonna say maybe I am the model for that.
Sure. So that's it.
That's what we've been up to. Been
going through those notebooks. Yeah.
16 years ago.
I carved some boring pumpkins.
26 years ago. Jesus Christ, 26 years ago.
Yeah? 26 years ago, you were 8.
Yeah.
That's depressing.
Yeah.
We're old and irrelevant. We should start talking about $10+ million blockbusters so that people will listen to what we have to say. Seriously, though, Skyrim is going to be awesome. What do I have to type to get Skyrim early?
I'll have to look it up. I'm sure it's in there somewhere.
Okay. Is it the Elder Scrolls 6? No, it's the Elder Scrolls 5. Fuck.
Yeah,
so that one program will be for the next one.
Yeah.
I forgot what else is going on.
That's it.
That it?
Yeah, that's what we're
doing. All right. So let's move on then, chaps. How about video games? You been playing any of those?
I played some Glitch.
Yeah?
I mean, like, you guys have been talking about it, and you know, it seemed like it should be an interesting thing, so I signed up for an account like 15 minutes before last week's show. Played it pretty seriously the first day. I played probably 4 hours of it. In a sitting, my very first sitting, and then came back the second day and played another hour or two and was like, you know, this is a game that I could spend an arbitrary amount of time playing just to sort of like improve my character and like explore the world and stuff like that. And I don't feel like it's worth it. I don't feel like it's compelling enough to me to do that.
But there are so many sandwiches that you haven't made yet.
Sure.
I really like the way my character looks, and I like the general visual design of it, but I just, there's nothing there that entices me to want to play with it.
It's a game about collection and like progress bars, getting, you know, further along and stuff like that.
It's not a game about, I think it is unfair to say that it is a game about progress bars.
Really?
Yeah, because Pac-Man is not a game about integers, right? And yet you could say that everything that you do results in your score going up. I mean, like...
Yeah. I mean, you are... One of the conceits of the game is that in real time, you are always... Like, your pet rock is studying to make a progress bar go from one side of the screen to the other.
Okay, so the fact that there is a progress bar does not mean that it is a game about progress bars, is the point that I'm trying to make. Like... Eve is not a game about progress bars, even though there always are progress bars moving. Eve is a game about being in space. At least you can say that. Right?
Okay. I mean, they're set up for the world is really weird. You are in the imagination of these giants.
Sure, that seems cool. Because anything can happen.
Sure.
When the only limit is your imagination, there is effectively no limit, Kevin.
That would be cool if there's a story you can find somewhere and a plot concerning those giants.
But the story is other players and the cocks and balls they've drawn on things. I saw a guy jump over a thing. That was a pretty good story.
Oh my gosh.
And then this other guy jumped real far.
I mean, people left notes around that I found on the ground and read.
You could make a game for somebody else to play. You could make a puzzle quest.
You could.
Puzzle hunt.
Sure.
You could implement puzzle quest in Heads of Lettuce.
Sure.
Fight a goblin.
You know, I don't know. It did not feel to me like there was something that was compelling me to come back and want to play the game. The only thing that I felt compelled to do, maybe I should rephrase. The only thing that I felt compelled to do was to collect stuff and fill up a bunch of progress bars. So maybe that's not what the game was about, but that's all that I had found in 6 hours of sort of casual play.
And this made you step back and look at World of Warcraft and see what it is that you felt was different about that.
Yeah. So, like, you know, I think that Glitch is a distillation of a lot of the same systems that are in almost any other MMO, right? Like, you know, you're collecting objects, you're accomplishing tasks, which let you, you know, which make you more effective at collecting more objects and accomplishing more tasks, right? Like, it's very similar to the structure of a lot of other MMO games, but World of Warcraft held my attention for 2 years probably, and this one, you know, was 2 days. And I feel like in World of Warcraft, it was a lot more like a wish fulfillment kind of thing. Like, you know, I've always wanted to be a powerful sorcerer that could like kill 10 skeletons with a single spell or whatever, right? Yeah. Like, and I think, you know, that's the thing. I also played, you know, casting classes because, you know, I've wanted to be able to cast magic spells and stuff. I was never really excited about being a rogue or a warrior or whatever. Like, the things that I did in that game were things that, you know, that were informed by my personality and like what I wanted to do in the world. And I feel like a lot of the, you know, a lot of like hardcore warriors were a lot of like military types.
Jockey
dudes. Yeah. Right. Like it was interesting. Like, it didn't always play out like that. You know, I had a warrior character, but like, I didn't have any like level capped. My level capped characters were all casters.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess the, like, you know, the like druid healers were almost always like somebody's girlfriend that was playing and stuff. And it's like,
isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Weird, but isn't that interesting that it seems like a lot of people,
I think what you're missing about Glitch though, is that a lot of people like me, all they ever wanted to do when they were kids was to grow like a really sweet stalk of broccoli and then give it to a giant.
So there are a bunch of things that I did not get to. I mean, I didn't buy a house. I didn't, like, there were a bunch of stuff that I didn't think. I found something, which I guess you hadn't found, which was like a place in the world that was sort of like an exploration puzzle, because there was a space with some keys and some locked doors and like a bunch of hidden areas. Mm-hmm. And so like exploring that in the right order would let you sort of find all these hidden things.
I mean, I definitely found a bunch of places where there were locked doors, but then I noticed a key for sale somewhere and it was more expensive than I can afford at the moment. So I was just like, I'll come back to that later. I also, on the way to BlizzCon, my skill timer came up and I was talking, we had a little conversation about like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do for my next skill? And you were like, you know, just take the one that's going to take the longest to learn, because you're busy for a few days. And so I did that, and then after that one popped, like, you know, 6 days ago, I picked the other one that was going to take the longest, and now let's see, I have 14 hours and 29 minutes and 44, 43, 42 seconds until I can go do some slightly more efficient mining than I could have done before.
So did you find it? Did you get to the end of this exploration puzzle? Did you find
it? I did not.
So,
but I got to some sort of middle stage of it where I got a bunch of really cool cocktails. Okay. Like, there were some rewards for just opening a single door. There was a bunch of stuff. Like, that's the thing. I don't actually know the structure of that place.
I mean, if I knew that
there was stuff in there,
that there is something, that there was a payoff more than just more lettuce.
I got a bunch of spinach,
but
for doing that?
Spinach. Oh, that's a different story entirely. But I mean, so why is, like, what is a payoff? Like, how is the sword that Ragnaros drops different than the lettuce that Hogger drops?
Leveling your character level and acquiring, like boosting your crafting abilities and so forth and getting the new equipment in WoW lets you progress along quests that have storylines and let you finally be able to beat the boss of this in this dungeon that lets you see what the next boss in the next area look like.
I guess, you know, there's a little bit of that at least, you know, 2 years ago or 3 years ago when I was playing World of Warcraft, there's a little bit of that at the level cap, but not a lot. Like, you know, progressing from one in-game raid to the next one, there's like a little bit of story
that
goes on.
It's very slow. You don't get a whole lot of background. Like, there's certainly not enough.
I never got into the raiding game.
I mean, I was mostly excited about the raiding stuff, you know, partially for the gearing up stuff, but also because it was like, these are quests that I could never have done on my own.
Yeah.
That I'm kind of getting to see because I've got a guild that's
Was my position.
And I mean, there are quests in Glitch that you can't do on your own.
Are there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I sent you a
mail in game as part of a quest.
Is a thing that I think did not happen to me that happened to you. There was never a time, and there has still not been a time when I didn't have like 10 quests to work on.
Oh yeah, the very first day I finished all of the quests that I had and was down to had nothing.
Are they
that I
quests
could do.
With some kind of story attached, or are
no,
they
they're
just
not. They're
make
quests
10
to like
sandwiches.
make three different kinds of sandwiches, and you have to go all over the world to get the stuff that it takes to make the sandwiches with.
Here's another question. Do you
me.
Use I mean, spoilers? Do you use like wikis and stuff like that?
I have occasionally. I think if I found 9 out of the 10 things that I needed and just didn't have any idea where to go to get the 10th one, but it's all in game. I mean, all of the every piece of information about everything is in the Glitch website.
Huh.
Like you can look at the pop-ups from everything.
Right.
And yeah, there's not a lot of
if you want to know where all the spice plants are, where do you go?
Oh, that I don't know.
Because that was something that I wanted to know. And
I had found them just from wandering around, you know, and like I knew that eggs came from caves and I knew that spice came from places that were like red on the overworld map and stuff. I mean, it was,
right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to defend Glitch as like the greatest game ever, but
no,
I'm not
saying it's a bad game either. Like,
yeah,
you know.
It does not give me what real gamey games give me, right? But it's like as a pastime, it's like these are some fun.
If I could play games for 10 minutes at a time and feel okay about that, I think I would be much more excited about Glitch.
I think maybe that's your
within the first 2 or 3 hours, I was like, okay, I really want to sit down, make a spreadsheet, and look at like the optimal path through this game because. That
to be fair,
like
I mean, you
me.
Felt that way about that bullshit Mafia Wars clone.
The undead one.
Yeah, and like that drive in you is clearly entirely irrespective of the quality of the game that you're playing.
Yeah.
Right? Even a game that you recognize as total bullshit, you're going to feel that way about. So I don't, you know.
Yeah.
You got a problem. You've got.
I don't think I am unique, though. I think I think a lot of people have, to varying degrees, the same kind of like. Completionist sort of wanting to be at the top of leaderboards sort of sensations that I have.
I don't think that most people are quite as self-aware. Maybe.
I mean,
or maybe they are. Maybe there's that fallacy where you think that everybody else is just a mindless sheep and you're the only thinking individual that can't actually be swayed by advertising.
The solipsism.
You know, I'd really like a Coke, like just an ice cold refreshing Coca-Cola right now.
Yeah.
That'd be fucking great.
Would you mix it with your
my Pabst and soda. Yeah. Oh boy.
That is the primary thing I played. I played a few iPhone games that I've already talked about a couple times.
So. Okay. That's it.
Yeah.
What about you, Riff?
I all but finished Professor Layton. I've got a few more puzzles to find, and I haven't done most of the bonus unlock puzzles yet, but I pretty much finished that. And I'm up to 3 wins on Binding of Isaac.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
I've also, basically everything that I played was Binding of Isaac. You know, I did play maybe 4 hours of World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Since last time.
I saw you playing that.
And it was weird. I went into one of the like sort of top tier dungeon finder heroic dungeon things that you can do now. And I got in there and we played through it and we got to the end boss. And I would say 3 times the tank got pissed off and quit and we had to find a new tank.
Wow.
Over the course of it. And then we wiped on the last boss a couple times and then it became clear that this one guy was really mad at me for being under-geared for the instance. And so I was like, started off trying to have a rational discussion with him, like, you know, I don't mind leaving the group. Like, I don't, you know, I don't really care. Like, if you want to get another DPS to do this, like I'll just bow out, whatever. But like, I would appreciate it if you would tell me like what you know, what am I supposed to do? Like, I just went to the dungeon that the video game told me to go to.
Right.
Right. And that's why I'm here. So, like, what is it that I need to do? And, like, people, I think, are so unaccustomed to...
Too honest and rational discourse
yeah. in a situation like that, that they don't... They were still talking to some asshole that wasn't me for a long time until I got kind of pissed off. And I was like, look, you prick, I've offered to leave. Like, do you want me to leave so you can get somebody else in here? Or do you want me to stick around so you can continue to be fucking mean to me for no reason? And then finally he like snapped out of it and it was like, oh, well, you should go to this website and like look at these things. And like, this is the gear that you should be going for. Like, none of your stuff has gems in it, which is just kind of sloppy. So that's gonna make everybody mad when they see it. But it's like, among the gear that didn't have gems in it were two pieces
that had dropped
during that dungeon run. So it's like, all right, when the fuck was I going to put gems in these exactly? But that said, I went, based on what that guy said and looking at this website, which was actually fascinating.
Yeah.
This is a website. I've wanted this for a really long time because I wanted to just have like an overview of the kind of the mechanical design of the classes right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it just has like rotations, like DPS rotations for every class and every spec, like what you should be doing.
Nice. Because for maximizing DPS.
Well, for maximizing DPS, but this is the rotation that they've designed for. Like, this is these are the abilities and this is what they do, and you can just mouse over them in this website for the game tooltip. And it's like, it is interesting to see the different sort of...
Were you doing what they recommended for your spec?
Or? I was, yeah. I mean, I had more or less figured out, based on what the skills did, what I should be doing to do the most damage, right? Because there's like, there's a rotation of like maybe five abilities. I intended before this conversation to go through and count the number of skills that I have, because you scoffed when I said I thought I had 90 activatable abilities. I'm going to count them, and one of these days I'm going to either prove you wrong or feel real stupid for saying this now.
I mean, you definitely, I think you, well, you know, if you got a skill every level or a couple skills every level, you clearly would have over 90 skills, but so many of those, at least for
over
me,
90.
Were upgrades to previous skills.
They were rank up, but they don't do that anymore.
Can you...
You don't get, there are no ranked skills in World of Warcraft anymore.
Do you know offhand what the name of the site was?
Noxic, N-O-X-X-I-C. I don't know that it would be, I would be interested in it even if I didn't play WoW, I think. I don't know if I would say that would be true of anybody else.
Hmm.
But... You know, I looked, and then I went to the auction house, and I spent maybe 1,000 gold out of the 9,000 gold that I had accumulated just by playing through the expansion, and, like, probably increased my damage output by 25 or 30%.
Wow. Nice. Was it mostly just gems and
gems and gems and enchants and,
wow,
like, going back and getting the, like, rebuying the things that I had done rep grinds for before, like the hat enchant or whatever,
right,
buying that some ghostly spell pants.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway, so and it, like, I kind of felt like, all right, cool, I'm participating in like a crafting economy, right? Like, I'm buying these things. It is a little weird to me that stuff that is not really pointed at by the game is so critical. Like, there have been so many systems added to that game, like the glyphs and the gems and, you know, the different like, I had no idea that blacksmiths could make like a belt buckle that gave you a gem slot on your belt, like no matter what kind of belt it is, but they totally do. Like, blacksmiths can make a belt buckle and it gives you an extra socket to put a gem in on your belt. But I didn't know that. And how the fuck was I supposed to know that? Like, how do you know that? Like, as a player of that game,
I would, yeah, well, so there's a couple of options. You can play through the game As every
trade skill and every class, so that you know. So that
I mean,
you know
that
everything.
Is one
sure.
of the ways that I learned about the game was playing through the first, you know, 15, 20 levels of every class, and you know, trying to like get at least a feeling for all the different trade
or
professions.
Perhaps
and stuff like that.
They just figure that anyone who is
serious about
who's
it,
who's serious
enough matters,
they're
going to be in a group, right?
Yeah, then we'll find out about it the same way you found out.
The problem with that is that it's like people don't. A lot of people talk about the Dungeon Finder and the automated, like the sort of automated grouping and letting you play through group content with people from other servers that you don't know and will never see again. To me, it is fantastic because it lets me see this group content that I would never see if I had to commit to like a weekly schedule to play with a group of people. But people talk about how it erodes the community a lot. I don't know that I believe that's true, because I certainly do not feel like part of a WoW community, but for me, it was either this or nothing. And if there are people doing this instead of forming actual relationships, which maybe there are.
But you, okay, so correct me if I'm wrong, but when you are doing this Dungeon Finder thing, it is pulling a group of people from a bunch of different servers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that there is no community cross server.
Right.
You can't communicate with those people except for in the forums.
Right, but what I am saying is, would I, if I wasn't doing this, be in a guild and know people that were friendly? I think I wouldn't. I think I would just not be playing World of Warcraft.
I mean, yeah. So like when I was playing, there was no Dungeon Fighter, and I would either pug a thing, which was all same server, or play with my guildmates. And 9 times out of 10, playing with guildmates was sort of a guaranteed success. And 6 or 7 times out of 10, it was a success with a pug, and it was like a big random shot. But then when you would find people, like occasionally you would play with people, and they were extremely competent, and you would actually form relationships with them, and you could maintain those relationships on the same server
by friends listing. I really do want them to add a cross server friends list thing, but not even necessarily chat. I mean, I guess. They're the way they have it integrated with Battle.net now. I mean, if I can send messages from within World of Warcraft to somebody who's playing StarCraft, I can sure as shit send it to somebody on another WoW server.
Right.
Right. So I'm sure that they're working on that. Because I've met people in these random groups that are formed that I'm like, yeah, I would totally play with this guy again. Like, I've gotten into groups who was like, wow, that was really awesome. Let's do another one. And then we would requeue as a group and run another dungeon. And then it's like, hey, everybody's still got time. Let's do another one. And there was everybody was pretty good at what they were doing, and everybody was listening, and people were patient enough to explain to me, like,
sure,
don't stand in that orange shit. Right. And I'm like, what? I thought that orange shit was coming out of the death knight in our party. You can't even tell the fucking difference between things that are good and things that are bad anymore. Also, get off my lawn. Is what I said to them. There's some neat boss fights.
Yeah.
There's some really cool stuff in there. But yeah, anyway, so I did that, and then I ran a couple more dungeons, the lower ones that I was supposed to do to gear up for the higher ones, and then that was okay, I guess. Those had a pretty low success rate, though. Like, just the whole party would leave after wiping on the first trash pull.
Oh, jeez.
It's just
discouraging.
People have zero patience. Is the thing. Like, nobody, at least in the early days of Cataclysm, when it was hard and when everybody was having trouble with these runs, at least people would try. Like, you'd go in and you'd like, okay, so I've lost to this boss a lot, but I'm getting better at playing my role here.
To me, the difference was playing with like other 30-year-olds and playing with like 15-year-olds or 12-year-olds or whatever, right? Like, you could usually tell how old somebody was, more or less, you know, and it wasn't necessarily real age. It was like, you know, like maturity, you know, intellectual age. And somebody who was young was just a pain in the ass most of the time.
Yep.
So
I would gladly check the box that said just only ever group me with people over 30.
Yeah. They're not necessarily going to be the best players in the world.
No, but by and large, I mean, they're not just going to call you a fag and kick you from the group for no reason.
Well, some of them might.
Well, okay, sure.
But but your whole notion
group
of like,
me only with 30 people, 30 years old or older, north of the Mason-Dixon line.
Their notion that people who have kids or whatever, or know people who have kids, are going to be so much more tolerant of like interruptions.
The kind of bullshit that I do. That's why you're saying, like, in order to tolerate my nonsense, you have to regularly deal with someone who is just like actively shitting in your face.
That wasn't what I was going for, but that is another way of interpreting that. Sure.
So yeah, I did that, and then I at the end of it, after doing a couple more of those runs and getting a couple more pieces of gear with the justice points or whatever, I do like that the justice points are JPs and that I have to do a lot of DPS because I can talk about needing to get up my deeps to earn my jeeps. I like saying that to people. Nobody ever thinks it's funny, but I like saying it to people. I ran one of the higher tier ones again, and we beat it, and it was fine, you know?
Nice.
And like, I'd learned the fights, and so it's like, okay, well, I've now been in a group that successfully beat the hardest like 5-man content that's on there and available right now, and that's great. And I'm looking forward to when the new patch comes out, because there is a raid finder. There is a you can pick up group 10-man raids.
Yeah.
And I just want to see it. I don't care about getting the gear.
You know,
what I'm more excited about is being able to make whatever random gear I'm wearing look like some cool shit that I can just go get by myself from low-level content.
I heard about that. I would have loved that so much. Can you do it cross like, can you make leather look like chain?
You cannot make, you have to be able to wear both of them.
Okay.
Right? So you can't, like, if you're a rogue, you can't make leather look like plate.
Okay.
But you can make leather look like cloth, because you could be wearing cloth.
Okay. If you can get it, right? Like, it's, is it, it's not that you just can, if you can wear it, you have to have a copy of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but it's like, you can have it in a quest reward.
You can have it in the, like, exterior storage thing that they're adding now, which is weird. You were going to say something and I interrupted you. It's like a baby shitting in your face.
Well, the raid content is, I'm curious about how that's going to play out in terms of pugging that, because raids are a lot more complicated.
They are only doing it for the raid that is being introduced in this patch. And so I feel like they have designed this one to be playable by a random collection of jack-offs.
And then I went through and spent a significant amount of time and effort convincing people and corralling them to actually do the old world raids when it was just Outlands.
And it
was
so fun.
It was hard to do, but everyone had a really good time when we would do it, because it was really easy.
Yeah.
It was hard. It was hard to organize. It was easy to run.
Well, relatively, especially with people who had played it before, like, cause they remembered a bunch of stuff, but there are fights that like do percentage damage or whatever. So they're still,
they're tricky even if you're way out geared for them. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was really neat to be able to see all that old stuff. And I didn't, there were some that I've still just never seen. Like, I've never seen AQ-40. That one was just, pulling teeth to get anybody to try to want to play. But
that stands for American Quap 40.
On Courage, which had some, Anchorage. Arguably some of, what?
Anchorage.
Anchorage, which theoretically had some of the most interesting content to me, because it was, a bunch of, old god.
Anchorage, with Marky Mark?
Yeah. It's inspired.
I don't think Marky Mark is in Entourage.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about television. Wait, is Entourage a video game?
Yes.
Yeah, then I don't know anything about
it. Yeah, so, I definitely loved doing all that. And I just wanted to see the whole game. And, I never have. I never succeeded in that.
I had a huge collection of drops from final bosses of dungeons that I had gone back and one-manned. And that was my favorite thing to do, was to see at the current level cap, how many of the old dungeons could I do? And then when a new expansion came out, that was awesome, because it meant I'd be able to do 5 or 6 more of them.
I feel like being able to make my gear on my dude look like anything that is possible for me to get gives me this entirely new and interesting set of goals.
Because
I can just go to some website that just shows me every staff in the game, and it's this is a staff that you can only get from the end boss of Razor Fen Crawl, and it's okay, I guess I'll go figure out where Razor Fen Crawl is and walk through it and see if I can kill that guy, because that's awesome.
I mean, I remember how long it took me to get all my tier 0.5 pieces or whatever, and the idea of trying to get a particular piece of that again, if that's what I wanted my final thing.
Did you get
like
rid of it all, though?
I think I ended up doing it.
I never got rid of
it.
My bank is full of garbage.
It was 10 pieces of gear, because it was every gear slot. It was nuts. Yeah. And I at some point I was I am never going to wear any of this again. Theoretically, I could get it again if I really, really wanted to.
I still have that super fruity purple leather set that I collected. It was the first gear set I ever completed. The
serpent,
the leggings
something?
Of the fang.
Yeah,
the vestments of the fang or something.
Man.
So fruity.
Oh, I feel so.
You want to go back and play World
doomed.
Of Warcraft?
I want to play World of Warcraft again.
You know, I would say that, but it turns out that all I ever want to play is the fucking Binding of Isaac. I looked at my Steam's, I have 19 hours.
Really? It doesn't log correctly for me. It only shows I think it's showing the amount of time I played in my last session.
Mm. Yeah, I beat it. I've beat it now 3 times, and it was weird. I've only beat it twice actually. But the first time I ever got to the end boss, I got killed when I had it down to 10% of its health. And then the next game I played, I beat. And then the next game I played after that, I beat.
That's awesome.
Which was weird.
I have found that I'm not a good enough dodger, so I have to have some kind of HP regen. Because like the three times I've fully won the game, it's been once with Yumheart and the battery to recharge it, once with the Book of Revelations, which gives you soul hearts and a battery to recharge it, and then the third time was Vampire Bat, which gives you health every so many enemies you kill, and then also the Yumheart.
You mean Vampire Bird?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it seems like if I can get that combination, one of those sorts of healing combinations, and also like not just get boned on bombs and keys and stuff like that, then I have a pretty good shot at it.
I find that if the extra health does me no good in terms of like survivability in the late game, if I have not found like a bunch of damage increasers.
Yeah.
Right.
You definitely need like, stat ups.
Like
too,
a spread yeah. across the whole thing. Casey Wiederman actually wrote in. He said, okay, Binding of Isaac. I'm doing it wrong. Store item costs 15 cents. I have 2 cents. Also, the game keeps throwing me items in places it knows I can't reach. Did I just get the one randomly bad generation where I don't get the jump skill at the start? So it starts doing, it does some weird things, right? Mm-hmm. In the first few levels, it'll hide things across gaps that you can bomb rocks to make bridges. And then in the next set of levels, it starts hiding them across gaps that you need to either be flying or something to get across.
Yeah.
Like it is often, there are a bunch of different things that could happen that would let you get to that.
Mm-hmm.
And if it happens to spawn one of those rooms in the first level, like you very often can't buy anything in the shop on the first level.
Right.
But sometimes you can. Like sometimes you get super lucky and there's like Steam sale, which is half price everything in stores from there until the end of the game for 7 cents, and you can find 7 cents
yeah.
in the level. And sometimes it's like, well, I have 6 cents. Do I waste these three bombs just randomly blowing up rocks to see if I get something?
I don't think random rocks ever
do it. Random rocks never do it?
No. There are rocks that are...
You
don't
want to put out the fires and get it.
Yeah,
the
fires and the
poop.
Yeah, there are slightly different colored rocks with X's on them that are always...
But you might like use a key on a chest that you wouldn't otherwise do. Right, if you know, to get a coin instead of like there is a lot of that,
spend a bomb to blow up a slot machine or something.
Sure,
yeah.
And you like you'll play a level and you'll be like, well, there's a bunch of shit on this level that I can't pick up. It's like, you know, that level just didn't go very well, you know. And that's just how it.
And
that's
if
how
it's
it goes.
If it's the first level, then I feel like you don't have to feel bad about restarting if you just have a shitty first level.
I would feel bad about that.
Really?
I've decided that
scumming.
Yeah, I've decided that I don't want to do that. You know, it's like when I discovered in that new Super Mario Brothers game that you could just like save right before you open one of the boxes in one of the areas to give you like the one-time reward, and it's like, well, I only want the best rewards, and I was I can't do it.
I feel like if I feel good enough to go to the second level, then I'm going to play it all the way out, is how I feel about it.
In Deus Ex, I would save the game before a big shootout because I was trying to pacify everybody instead of kill them, because you get less ammo rewards from dudes that have shot at you. So if you can knock out the guys that have the darts faster, they will have more darts. So I would sometimes replay battles to just get the most ammo I could out of it.
I mean, I think that's a testament to how tedious that way of playing Deus Ex was.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's like all. I just can't stop playing Binding of Isaac. Yep. It is so fucking good. And like the fact that like just as I was like, all right, I have finally gotten good enough that I can actually like beat this game. Like it no longer seems impossible to beat. Like
My most recent win, the one with the vampire bat, I didn't really have a lot of... I mean, I had the eye lasers, but that was really the only elaborate stuff I had was the bat and the eye lasers, and I still won, and I feel like I did not expect to be able to beat it with that build.
I mean, it is a game that you get better at
by
playing it, and I wonder if they did this, and I hope that this is what they did. I wonder if they proved that it was possible for the starting character to beat every possible room. Right? Because if so, then there is no way that an unfair situation could be generated by the game.
It's true.
Right? You could never generate an impossible dungeon if it was possible for a sufficiently skilled player to beat every room without taking damage and without any power-ups. I don't know if they actually bothered, if anybody bothered to do that.
Are the characters different enough where that's even a question?
What do you mean?
I mean, I haven't seen you guys play enough of the game, but it seems like
the multiple characters that you can play, or
so like it seems like the gameplay is primarily moving around and shooting stuff while it shoots back at
you. Yeah, but your survivability is hugely variable, and the way that you have to play is hugely variable based on what power ups you get.
Okay, sure, but what I'm saying is, character with no power ups, are you saying there are situations where without a power up you're potentially definitely going to get hit or something?
I'm saying I'm curious as to whether or not they guaranteed that that wouldn't happen. Because I can imagine a situation where they said, as long as it is possible for every one of these rooms to be beaten without getting hit
right.
by somebody with no power-ups, then we know that the game is fair.
Well, right. That's what I'm... Right. It is not clear to you on having played as much as you have whether that's possible or not?
I mean, it is theoretically possible.
Okay.
Right? But I wonder if they actually proved that it was possible.
What does it mean to prove it, though?
Because it could be that it takes a half an hour of perfect play to beat one of the bosses with a non-upgraded
right.
character, and I wonder if they bothered. Right?
But would you care if it took half an hour with an upgraded character?
It seems like whether I would care is totally immaterial to what I'm talking about.
If you were the designer, would you care?
As
long as it was possible, like that's what I'm saying. As long as it's possible, does it matter how hard it is? Because you know that it can only get easier.
I think I am arguing that no, not necessarily, right?
Okay.
But I'm curious as to whether or not
I know what it you're curious is about. Possible, but let's say it is possible, but it takes an hour. Like, yeah.
I think that doesn't necessarily matter.
Okay.
I mean, I think you would maybe use that as a metric for tuning down the difficulty of something.
Okay.
Right. If it was just like, this is going to be a hassle for a certain percentage of players that get to here and is not going to be fun, and they're probably not going to make it past it. Right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really curious. Like it's weird to think about this because, you know, how much time did they spend on making this game? You know? And Casey Wiederman also continued actually. On top of that, it's running sluggishly on Linux and I can't full screen. Anybody out there have any experience with this? To contrast this, I've been very impressed with how well all the other Humble Al Bundy games work on Linux. I think because The Binding of Isaac is a Flash game that's in a sort of executable wrapper. Yeah.
I did not know that at
performance
all.
Is just total ass on it. And that's my understanding, at least. I mean, I saw a tremendous number of people complaining about the processor performance.
Starts to crawl after a while. Because
it doesn't seem like it would be a game that stressed your computer out, but it does in a lot of people's experience. But, yeah, I wouldn't know because I got one of those 1%. I got one of those Wall Street computers at this point. It runs everything fast. It's that SSD. It's loading those bloody aborted fetus textures way faster than it needs to. That all we've been playing?
Yep.
What's going on in the world?
You said that there was some sort of Grand Theft Auto 5 announcement.
They released the first trailer. They announced it a few days ago that they were working on it. And they released the first trailer.
You don't
today.
Drive cars anymore. You drive big rigs.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
What?
They're a trailer truck.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Like a tractor trailer. Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. Oh, I've never seen a truck that size.
Yeah.
What have they said anything about plot or city or
city? It's LA or it's San Andreas or whatever, and it seems to be all like class warfare-y, you know. It's like
the 99% versus the 1%.
Yep.
Huh.
I don't know. Like it when I looked at it, I thought, yep, I'm not gonna play that one either. Just
do you have to exercise to make you strong?
you have to eat fewer hamburgers than you do push-ups or. I
will buy it and hope that I like it better than Grand Theft Auto 4, which I could not get into at all.
Yeah. I was considering, it made me consider downloading San Andreas on a PC and trying to play it there. Because, for my money, there has never been a GTA game that matched Vice City in terms of just how fun it was to play.
That is true.
And so, there are a lot of people that feel that way, but there's also a lot of people that feel that way about 3 and think that Vice City was a step backwards. And then there were a lot of people, I mean, Jim that we used to work with was fucking in love with San Andreas.
Yeah.
And
what I'm wondering is, it seems like they keep adding systems to the game, right? Which is, you know, that seems like a thing that game developers would do. And I wonder if there was some sweet spot in the GTA 3 era for the number of systems that somebody's willing to deal with. Or
does
whatever.
GTA 4 have more systems than San Andreas?
The friend thing. Like,
right, but did they do away? I mean, can you also play pool? Can you also play darts? I mean, what did they?
Were those things required by the game?
I don't think that there were. I'm only talking about
relevant to the main storyline, and like, because there's a ton of stuff in Vice City that you don't have to do that are like crazy little side missions.
Yes, if you want nitro in your taxis, which fuck yes, yeah. You want nitro in your taxis.
But I mean, like, there's like RC helicopter flights and stuff like that.
Yeah,
which,
F those, man.
You know, I don't think you ever have to fly a helicopter in the main game. I could be wrong. You fly a biplane.
You have to fly a biplane to do that porn flying thing.
Yeah. But that's like one of the few non-driving or shooting things, right?
I think that's actually where I quit. I think being unable to complete that mission is why I quit playing Vice City.
So that's a prime example.
Yeah, so like putting these weird other things in that are totally different than the normal minute-to-minute gameplay and having those be a gate between you and the rest of the plot.
And something that I was curious about was like, it seems like they kind of missed the point on a few things. Like the only Grand Theft Auto I played, but I played a lot of it, was Vice City. And I have very fond memories of that. I absolutely love the radio stations, and then hearing about the ability to watch quite a bit of like television content in, I think, GTA 4 or whatever, was really surprising to me, because I was like, well, that seems to not make any sense, because the awesome thing about the radio was that it was super entertaining while you were driving from point A to point B.
Right,
but if you can't watch TV while you're getting anywhere, it's not like
they took out the radio, right? Like the TV was, that just seems like an indulgence.
But it seems like it's pointless, right? Like the radio was awesome because it served a purpose. Like you had to, like, if they're going to have a worldy game, you need to drive around.
But would the game be better if it didn't exist?
Would the game get better if the radio didn't exist?
If television didn't exist.
I think I'm positing it would be
impossible if television did not exist.
Well,
you'd have to go to the arcade.
Right. But even then, I mean, those monitors are really just televisions.
Oh, I am positing that, yes, the game would be better if the TV did not exist in GTA 4. That is what I am saying.
Why?
Because
if there just wasn't television playing in your apartment when you went to save.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there was that much television stuff going on. And it was like,
I think there were
the process of going into my apartment and changing clothes more entertaining than it would be if there wasn't some novel, mostly sound entertainment going on. Like, I don't think there were like hours of video.
I thought there were. I don't remember the reports. I just being really surprised.
They're like full episodes of Ow My Balls.
Yeah.
I think what mainly turned me off to it was just the cars were
much
really,
harder to control.
Really difficult to control. They handled really realistic. Poorly. Well, yeah, but they weren't fun to drive.
Well, sure, real cars aren't that fun to drive.
I mean, that's the thing. They're adding more systems by having like more realistic physics or whatever. You know, like, it seems like they're adding complexity past a sweet spot where it was a lot of fun.
You know what I kind of want? GTA Minecraft.
Huh.
Minecraft level with GTA, like Minecraft level of detail and world fidelity with GTA style content.
Huh.
Really, what I want is fucking Bully, but at Hogwarts.
Wow.
That is what I want. That is the video game that I want someone to fucking make.
Oh my God, wow. That would
please.
Be good.
That's, right,
well,
because
it could potentially be good.
I mean, Bully is cool, except that the
I've never
the
played
world,
Bully.
The world's boring.
Is it,
it's like
really?
It's like, oh, okay, time to go to class. It's like, no, God damn it, I don't want like. Yeah. I have not played the sort of scholarship edition or whatever they called it, which they might have improved the playability of some of that stuff somewhat. It seemed really interesting, but I felt this constant clock pressure, which I guess my character was supposed to be feeling because it's time to go to class. And it's like, all right, well, how far can I get in exploring this thing? Oh, I'm almost at the end of this alley. I wonder if there's a treasure chest in this alley. But you know what? There wasn't a fucking treasure chest in that alley.
Was there a dumpster with some gold in it?
Set in the real world. There's no fucking treasure chests.
When's
the last time you found a treasure chest?
There's dumpsters with gold in them.
Gold, like gold teeth in a hobo?
Potentially. I mean, people go dumpster diving all the time.
Sure. They must be looking for gold.
They're rich.
Yeah. You're right. The people who dumpster dive, they dig up that dirt on the phone company.
Yep.
Yeah. That lineman. You know what that lineman's been listening to? Sexting is what he can hear it. He's like Cypher in the Matrix. He can hear you sexting just
blonde,
by the static
brunette, redhead.
Let's see, the only other like sort of things were the new Humble Indie Bundle, or Humble Bundle, I guess, not Indie Bundle necessarily, which
it's all indie. Voxatron. It was initially just, it was weird the way that they did it. It was initially just the Voxatron
Keep doing this where they keep adding games to bundles?
Well, they didn't call it a bundle. They called it the Humble Voxatron debut. And I was like, all right, I'll do that, because that game looked really fucking cool and I want to support the development of that game. It seemed like 3D dot game heroes, but not a Zelda, like not just a port of Zelda to a voxel engine, the way that 3D dot game heroes was. And so I was like, I paid the recommended price, but I just cranked the EFF slider down to zero, because fuck those Linux pricks. I'll give Child's Play some more money or whatever, you know, because I like sick kids. I think I would rather hang out with a cancer kid than a Linux asshole.
Wow.
In general. if I'm like, hey, cancer kid, write me an interface for this tool, they're probably going to write one that's comprehensible by a normal person.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Sure, sure. Yeah, that's what a Linux asshole is going to say.
Radar.
He's going to be like,
super radar.
Look, if you want to, you want this to work on a monitor, well, in that case, just write a driver. Like, oh, okay, thanks, Linux asshole. This is a sweet open source piece of software that you've written me. This is really useful. I'll have fun with this. Hey, but at least I'm a jerk for using Windows. Anyway, yeah, so no money to the EFF. I would recommend anybody that buys this Humble Voxatron bundle, just crank that EFF slider down to zero. They got plenty of money. They get it by selling their software. Oh, wait.
It's got Voxatron, Binding of Isaac, and Blocks That Matter.
I have not looked into
at all. I don't know anything about it.
It is apparently a thing where you... It is like a puzzle platformer where the puzzly nature is that you can suck up blocks that are in your way and then use them in groups of four to create Tetris pieces that are then platforms and various things.
Huh. But there's different kinds of blocks? The only screenshot I saw was like...
some of them are affected by gravity and some of them aren't and things like that.
So what happens if you mix chocolate block with an anti-gravity block?
All I know about it is from watching a little video of it.
Okay. I haven't heard anything about the Binding of Isaac, though. I'm anxious to check that out.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good.
There was that Halloween content update, which one of the advertised features of the Halloween content update was, like, no stupid Halloween theming.
Yeah.
It's, like, just more content for... made me happy. I really didn't want... I did not want Binding of Isaac to turn into Team Fortress 2.
Yeah.
I mean, I still kind of hate running across fucking pumpkins in Minecraft. I think that was one of the dumbest things he has ever done. I hate that they are all jack-o'-lanterns.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind them if they weren't jack-o'-lanterns.
No, exactly. Pumpkins would have been fine.
Wait, are they jack-o'-lanterns?
Every pumpkin is a jack-o'-lantern.
They grow as jack-o'-lanterns.
No,
it is retarded.
I never knew that.
You have to combine them with a torch to make a glowing.
But they always have the face.
That
just seems like a bad decision.
Exactly.
I never noticed it.
It drives me crazy.
Does it bother you that the watermelons also have faces carved into them when they grow? No.
No. I've found some watermelon seeds. I've not grown any watermelons.
Have you actually been playing Minecraft? I did not know that you had
since
played
1.0
since...
came out. Because I have this chain rule that Riff made almost a year ago that I have not passed on because I never died. And I'm in the middle of a bunch of projects, so.
That was all I was aware of for news.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Slow news week. I feel pretty truant. I have not actually played even one more minute of the assignment in between last week and now.
Yeah. No,
somebody asked in the forums why we made this a 2-week assignment, and I was like, I don't know.
I mean, contrasting to you two, I finished the game entirely.
Yeah,
100% completion.
All right, looks like this is your time to shine. Go, Kevin.
So I spent a lot of time yelling at the game.
Yeah, I heard streams of profanity coming out of the living room.
Yeah, my sort of analysis of the game is that there's like, they have this regular trope that they use a lot. I think it was probably their sort of like design philosophy, which was that there's a complicated sequence of actions that you need to take, and that if you fail before you get to the end of it, you have to restart and do it again. And that became more and more frustrating as the sequences got longer and more difficult as the game went on. And it varied, like there were all kinds of different situations where this came up, like, because there would be like super long stealth sections that you'd have to go through. And if you, like, for the longest time, I didn't think there were any checkpoints, and that, like, finally, like, I got to one, and I was like, oh, finally, I don't have to restart from the very beginning. But it, like, took 20 tries to get to that first checkpoint, and they're not signposted, so you don't know that you've made a checkpoint or whatever. Mm. There were the, like, the hovercraft racing sections, which were super long, not racing, but sorry, the sort of the looter caves one, which were more right. like obstacle courses, within the hovercraft. And those were really long, had multiple points of failure where if you hadn't completed a particular section of it fast enough, you'd lose. And then like the boss fight, the final boss fight in particular, what drove me nuts, because I just didn't understand one little part of it, which cost me like half an hour of my life. Super, super annoying. And so
it
then
only, it only cost you a half an hour of your life if you didn't enjoy playing a video game during that half hour. If it's, didn't you listen to your mom when you would get so mad at your Nintendo?
I did not
if
go
it's
outside.
It's not fun.
Go outside.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Also, if you don't have anything good to say, just scream a bunch nearly
of
limitless stream of obscenities. Yeah.
Yeah. So
also she said, do you kiss me with that mouth?
Huh?
Yeah.
It's like you lived in my house.
Mm-hmm. I've just spent a lot of time with your mom.
So, like, there are a bunch of other games which do this, which I do not rail against as much. Like, Mage Gauntlet, like, there are really long levels, and if you get to the end of them and get killed, you have to start over, right?
Yeah, as a point of data, the first time that happened to me was the last time I played
okay.
Mage Gauntlet.
But, like, so, for me, so, but you can, like, then get up, and you have a life. You can, like, spend a life and just keep playing, right? Like, only if you lose all your lives do you
oh, sure,
playing.
That's what I mean. Only the first time I lost all my lives was
when
I just
get
quit
killed a single time.
Right,
I restart.
You said that's because you are crazy.
Well, right, so I'm going for three stars. And so, like, what I was thinking is that, you know, like, Spy Mouse was another game that I've been playing recently where you can have a really complicated sequence of events and you get to the end and you fuck up once and then you have to restart because you're not going to be able to get the ribbon for it or whatever. And I just, I think I hate those systems where the expectation is extremely high that you're going to fail and you mm-hmm. have to do it over and over and over again. Like that level of sort of repetition made me really, really angry.
I mean, that's cool if it takes 10 seconds, right? That's cool if it's like a
right.
Super Meat Boy or an N
exactly.
Plus or something.
It's the like 1 minute, 2 minute, 10 minute kind of sequences that start to like drive me more and more nuts.
I wonder if you would hate Binding of Isaac.
I'm going to play it at some point. And then I can tell you whether I'm going to hate it or not. Yeah, but so with the other games, I felt like it was more acceptable because those were all challenges. Like, you could still complete the game without it. And then I thought back on Beyond Good and Evil and realized that a lot of the things that I was yelling at and complaining about, except for the boss fight, were optional. Hmm. You do not have to complete a lot of those things that I was doing to actually finish the game.
You just wanted to get all 88 pearls.
I did want to, yeah.
So that you could make a piano with a pearl keyboard.
Exactly.
So how do you feel about, like, roguelikes in general?
Yeah, did you ever get into NetHack?
I played Angband a lot.
Okay, so you're not averse to... I mean, I guess with a randomly generated thing where the expectation is that you're just going to play and see how far you can get and enjoy the exploration until you lose, that's different than a plot that you're trying to see through to the end.
Yeah. Like, there is a distinct story, and I wanted to know how it resolved. And the story in Beyond Good and Evil is pretty good. Like, it is pretty interesting.
I mean, we were talking about this before. Like, it is basically just exactly like a Zelda game. Only it sold 1/1,000th as many copies.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely, like...
A lot of boring
an overworld
moving around in a boat.
And a bunch of dungeon-y type situations.
You get a bomb bag?
No.
Like every Zelda game, it has fart-powered jet boots.
It does. It has fart-powered jet boots. It has a boomerang.
Mm-hmm. Use the hookshot to get some Deku nuts.
Yeah. There was not a lot of mobility increasers. Like, you know, your vehicles get a little bit better at moving around the world, but you don't necessarily...
The getting the pig to fart so that the thing can jump up so that you can swat it into a switch was a little, that felt a little contrived.
Yeah.
It was also the first place that I kind of got stuck in the game was not realizing that he could do that from anywhere.
Well, he has to be within a particular range of stuff.
But it's way longer it's than pretty you long would than think. It is long enough that it doesn't make any fucking sense. It is far enough away from you that he doesn't have to be on the same, a contiguous piece of floor, and yet he can somehow make it shake. Yeah, I don't know. I feel bad, because this assignment was my idea, and then I just was like, eh. I didn't even get as far as I got the first time I played it.
It is important for me to try to play through these really good games, critically approved games, till the end, just to sort of have an understanding of their overall structure and stuff. But yeah, there were definitely parts of it that I was not super psyched about.
Well, we're going to continue in the critical acclaim, popular failure vein with one last assignment, The Last Express, Jordan Mechner train adventure game.
Yeah, I really hope that it is easily acquirable and playable by people, because it's from 1997.
Well, I mean, you can get it on GOG, so for people with PCs, it is going to be easy to acquire and play. Yeah. I don't know about playing it on a Mac.
Yeah, I found a forum post some guy made with explaining in detail what he did to be able to run it in DOSBox on a Mac, and I'll try that, and if it works, I'll post it on the Twitter.
Okay. Yeah, and there was a Mac version when it came out in 97, so ostensibly, if you have an old computer...
Yeah, if you have a non-Intel Mac.
If you have a PowerPC, which is only, 4 or 5 years ago that they switched.
I thought it was longer than that.
My previous laptop was a PowerPC.
Yeah, but your previous laptop was from high school.
No.
They didn't have
four,
laptops.
47218.
I've got a laptop from 1999.
I've got a laptop from 1909
that still runs.
It's called a horse.
You used to keep it on your lap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't weigh much anymore.
Oh,
to be fair, it was. I mean, it was one of those Shetland horses.
I see.
Hey, how about some video games mail, guys?
Can't think of a reason not to.
Okay, let's look at the Twitters. Some people talking about Binding of Isaac, which is awesome. Logan Runs says, what is the difference between alpha, beta, and release? Is there a difference in this internet-connected age of constant updates? I don't think there was a meaningful difference between Minecraft alpha and beta, and I don't think that there is going to be a meaningful difference between beta and release. Yeah, sure, but that's not meaningful.
I think in more general terminology, isn't it?
Well, alpha is when alpha is a playable version of the game that you get your buddies and the people alpha, that you work
alpha
with to play.
Alpha is feature complete, and beta is fixing all the bugs and then releases. That's what I've heard. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, but I mean, you never release. The projects are too complicated now to ever release without any bugs, right? So
alphas are significant systems in place and playable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's necessarily even feature complete. Beta is, I would say systems complete, but content not necessarily incomplete.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't have to be polished in beta. Yeah.
And then
there can be a big sign that says fart in place of this way to fart.
I think the ideal situation, given infinite money or whatever, things would stay in beta until they were bug free and then they would be released.
But they would stay in beta forever.
Well, potentially, yeah.
Stay with us forever.
If there were an infinite amount of money, you could potentially fix every bug, right?
I don't think that that's true.
You don't think so?
No. Because I think every bug fix generates some non-zero number of additional bugs.
I don't think that's true. That's where we differ. I think it is
every bug
to
fix generates some zero or non-zero number of additional bugs.
Yes. So that would be my contention for the ideal
every
world.
Bug that you fix generates 3 bugs.
I don't think people apply the terms the same way. So I don't think it means anything across the board anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really lament. There's a lot of people piss and moan on the internet. I'm not gonna pay to beta test this bullshit buggy software for them. It's okay, well, I guess you don't want to play any video games, because it's either that or they don't come out. And I'm not defending companies that release buggy software, but some of my favorite games.
Well, how would your 1909 Shetland pony get around if it didn't have a buggy?
It's true. Nobody makes whips for it anymore. Oh, I gotta keep track of those and make sure that I don't fuck them up. Fallout 3, right? A lot of people derided it as unplayably buggy piece of shit, but one of my favorite games of all time, right? And a lot of people feel the same way about it. And it's sure.
It was so awesome, but the bugginess made me so sad.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, how long would it have taken for them to be able to release that with no bugs, right? Like, would they have been able to afford the time to continue working on
it? I feel like they could have been able to afford the time to stop it crashing every 10 minutes.
Well, you never know. You don't know how hard that was to fix, right? I mean, so like Valve, who can take as long as they want to release a game. Sure, but I mean, maybe it never happened to them, right? Like,
if they're playing on a particular set of hardware.
Yeah. Like, there are so many differences between different, like, manufacturing runs of consoles, right? Like, there are these, like, dramatic hardware differences that maybe don't have any effect, but maybe have a huge effect, right? And, like, even with, like, a PS3, you can't guarantee as a developer that it's always running on the exact same hardware, because, like, the supply chain changes in between the manufacturing of different batches, and they do little improvements here and there.
You may have a full hard drive and the other guy might have an empty one.
Yeah. I mean, that, like, it's just the thing where it's like, you can't get enough people testing a game to have a comprehensive set of possible circumstances. Right. And it's like,
If you release the game as a beta and people just play it.
Well, sure. I mean,
that's
like
the thing.
Yeah. I mean, Valve never releases games that are derided as buggy pieces of crap. Right. But that's because they have an infinite amount of money, which gives them an infinite amount of time. But, all, you know, what people do complain about is that their games take for fucking ever to come out. So you're not going to make people happy one way or another.
I am much happier to wait.
You are.
Yeah.
A person is patient. People are racist. what else? Another fan, 321, is comparing Psychonauts to the platforming. All right, I honestly feel like it was the marketing that stopped Psychonauts from selling. It plays pretty much like most platformers at the time. I don't remember it being any harder than, like, Super Mario 64. Yeah, but Super Mario 64 was impossible. Like, I know...
No one has beaten that game.
Well, so a lot of people did. A lot of people were good at that game. But I desperately wanted to play it, but I couldn't because it was too hard. Like, I got to the point where none of the available opportunities for advancement were levels that I was capable of winning. And so, like, Super Mario 64 just made me really sad. You know? Like, I don't think I've played any... I've not played... The last Super Mario game that I played to completion was the last 2D Super Mario game. Hmm. And all of the ones that have come out since then. Right? Like, Super Paper Mario, I beat... All of the Mario and Luigi games for the Game Boy played through and beat. I mean, those weren't even platformers, right? But new Super Mario Brothers I beat, but all of the 3D ones, like, I'm just no good at 3D platforming, and there's a lot of people that aren't any good at 3D platforming, and when you're that bad at something, you don't enjoy it. So it's just, like, Ocarina of Time was great because Ocarina of Time was to Super Mario 64 what Beyond Good and Evil was to Psychonauts, right? Because it did the jumping for you. You couldn't just randomly run off the edges of things and lose your guy. Like, to say this wasn't hard because I was good at it is not saying anything, right? Like, that is not actually an objective judgment or description of the game. Gleebs is asking if we're going to give Earthbound another chance because of the critical success, popular failure thing. We could do that at some point.
Yeah, that's a thing we could do.
I have played the first couple hours of Earthbound so many times, though. Yeah, maybe we can find one of the later ones in the series.
Earthbound is the last one in the series that is easily playable.
Is it?
We can get Mother 3,
fan translation patch. GBA ROMs or whatever. Yeah. Did they just not release any of the later games in the series in English?
Mother 3 was the last one.
Yeah. Talenzi says, what is your favorite video game show and movie? You know what my favorite video game show was? Was this game show that was on for a little while in the 80s called Starcade.
Oh, yeah.
Where there would be like video games trivia. A lot of which, when I look at this on YouTube, was ridiculous. It would be like, how many points was this enemy worth in Gyrus?
Wow.
Or whatever. And it was just like, what the fuck? Like, which you could bone up on because there were only 10 games. Yeah, but like, But yeah, it was crazy. And then you'd have like a minute and a half to score as many points as you could on Zaxxon or whatever. Wow. And it was weird. The host was so obvious that he was like being really enthusiastic about this shit that he just didn't care about at all. And like, I am reading this about the evil robot that you must defeat at the end of this level. Oh, you didn't beat you should have looked out for the laser fences or whatever. And it's great.
Wow.
I thought it was great when I was a kid, and I think it's great watching it on YouTube now. I don't know about video game movies, though. The Wizard.
Yeah, I can't really think of many other than that. Does The Matrix count?
What about The Game? The video game starring Michael Douglas.
The Game isn't a video game, though.
Sure it is. You don't know that it could have been virtual reality.
The Game was a good movie.
Any movie could have been virtual reality.
10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. 10 Levels.
I mean, Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, sure.
That is
a video game influenced movie. I mean,
say it is influenced is
sure.
How about Run Lola Run?
Okay,
Run Lola Run is a really good
movie.
Yeah,
clear video game metaphor.
Yeah,
running throughout. But I still think The Wizard.
Scott Pilgrim is a better version of that.
It's so bad.
Yeah. What was the game show that had the rebuses in it that you would uncover?
Pictionary?
No, you'd uncover pieces of it by answering stuff or whatever.
Huh.
Was that like a password maybe? There was something there.
I don't know. I remember enjoying remember. Like that was sort of the most interesting, mentally challenging of all the game shows.
I like Tic-Tac-Doe, but the dragon scared me.
Huh.
I liked Press Your Luck, but the whammies.
The whammies, yeah.
No,
the
whammies
didn't scare me.
No whammies.
There was that guy that memorized the sequences and just won every trip to Paris. Let's see. Deep Blue Sea says, do you find that advancements in graphics and other technical features of older games that you enjoyed while you were younger stop you from going back and playing them nowadays? While some games are timeless and are still able to be enjoyed in today's world, I find that there are a bunch of games that, although I may have been crazy about them when I was growing up, have just not aged as well as others. In general, I think I would rather play an Atari 2600 game than a Nintendo 64 game.
Hmm.
Like, I've said this before, but I am a huge detractor of the early 3D stuff when 3D was not good enough to really use.
I loaned my friend Jenny my old PS2 because she doesn't have a game console in her new apartment, and I was watching her play some Vice City actually the other day, and it surprised me how antique and blocky all the models looked, because I remember those graphics looking really good at the time.
Yeah.
So that was surprising. But as I continued to watch and got more used to it, it stopped bothering me.
I am just not bothered by bad graphics. Like, you know.
I mean, we've kind of discussed this before. Well, me and Aaron talked about Final Fantasy VII last week, but.
Okay, so I look at, World of Warcraft gets derided at times for being like retro because it's super low polygon count. I then look at LOTRO, Lord of the Rings Online, mm-hmm. and think, wow, these graphics are shitty. And it's like way higher.
World of Warcraft.
Yeah, it's like a much higher fidelity of a much uglier world.
World of Warcraft has obviously got some people who really know a lot about color and visual design.
They're racist, homophobe art director.
No, but they've Corpse obviously grinder. Put a lot of work into color palettes and things like that to make everything look as good as it can possibly look with that low poly count.
And that, to me, is way more important than the technical aspect.
Sure.
But you know, going back and playing Adventure with extremely lo-fi graphics and like a sort of duck dinosaur monster thing, like, does not bother me.
I would have a hard time, I think. Like, there are certain things that have aged really well and certain things that haven't. Like, Might and Magic 3 still looks awesome to me. Even like Eye of the Beholder 2 looks really pretty. Eye mm-hmm. of the Beholder 1, it looks really pretty because it's like Spider-Man. Doom looks like absolute shit.
Interesting.
And like, I could not, like,
maybe every Marathon, texture being the same in the Eye of the Beholder stuff was really rough.
Yes, but it looked good. It looked better. It looked better to me than every texture being like some random bullshit splotch that was not drawn by anybody, but that was rendered by some algorithm, right?
Duke like Nukem the tech just wasn't 3D there. Was like the world was so interesting and interactable that like I didn't care that it looked so
You say ridiculous. That, and I feel the same way, but there were like five things that you could interact with. It was really not that impressive. There were probably really not
two or three
impressive.
Dozen things.
No, there were five. There was the pool table, the stripper, and the movie projector, and that was it. I mean, flush a toilet.
You could open all the. You could like you were. You showed up in the windows. You could drink from the.
Something showed up in the windows.
You could drink from the
toilets.
The toilets and all the.
You
the
could
fountains.
Drink from the strippers.
Yeah.
Could pee in the movie theater. And you could fuck the pool table. Okay, so maybe there were more than five ways to interact with the environment. Yeah, you had to knock the blue balls in first. Daytor Sojat says, have you guys heard of Dungeon Defender? It's a real-time tower defense, kind of, with team play. My roommate watches streams of games on Twitch.tv, and everyone is playing it. You might enjoy the cooperative aspect, so I'm not sure if it's available for Mac. Also, what do you guys know / think about Twitch TV? Aside from glorifying nerds everywhere, do you think it adds something to a gaming community? So, in reading this question today... Oh, I'm sorry. He also says, also, Riff is awesome, and I've totally always wanted to tell him. Hi,
aww,
Riff.
Aw, thanks.
What a sweetheart, Daytor Sojat. That's probably something crazy backwards like Tadjos Rotad. I watched a few minutes of people playing that new Burger Time game on Twitch TV today.
I've never heard of Twitch TV.
It was just... So I think Justin TV... This was... One of our listeners talked about getting a job working for Twitch TV, and so I was aware of it. It's like just this video streaming thing. You can post videos of you playing video games.
Okay.
And there's live streaming. So there was just a live stream of these guys... sitting around making jokes that weren't very funny. So it's right up our alley, am I right, guys? And playing the new Burger Time game. Huh. And I was just like, I do not want to watch somebody play video games on a TV in an embedded video that is too small to tell what the fuck is going on.
So it's not a real stream, it's a video game.
It is.
Video of
no,
their
it is.
TV?
It's it. Oh. At times, it seems like. There was picture-in-picture of like some, you know, some dudes on a couch.
Okay.
Like, and... In general, guys playing video games is not entertainment, no. Right? Like, entertainment is a thing that you do on purpose and you dedicate all of your attention to.
What is a Let's Play?
I watch a lot of Let's Plays.
Also
but,
not something that I would watch.
Well, the difference is that Let's Plays, a good Let's Play is done by somebody who knows that game backwards and forwards and can show you, like, some really excellent play and can knows all the secrets and
is it
can talk about things that
and stuff,
that or? Depends on the Let's Player.
Also, one that is as good as that super hard Super Mario ROM hack where the guy was speaking with the funny fake accent.
Yeah, that was funny.
Blooper? What the fuck are you doing there? That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Especially that part when he said blooper, what the fuck? Because what was blooper doing there? Yeah, so I don't know about Twitch TV, man. There was a bunch of shit. Like, looking around, there were all of these things, and I don't know what any of the words meant. I was like, oh, okay, what game is this a video of someone playing? And it was like, ShamWow LOL is what it said. So I was like, is this a World of Warcraft? Is this League of Legends? Is it? Oh, nope, it's Team Fortress 2, as it turns out. It was just like, what? The ShamWow LOL was the name of the person who uploaded the video, I guess. Yeah, a lot of it is, I just hate websites. and every time there's more than 30 things on a screen, I just can't look at any of them
Which
anymore.
Is becoming most of the internet at this point.
Yeah, I am fighting that.
Web 2.0, man.
I'm going to rage against that, as evidenced by the Spartan simplicity of videogames.hotdogdog.hotdognet.net. It's just three pictures. Each of them goes to a website that is almost nothing. Although the video games hot dog website is shitty and a slightly more complicated than usual.
It would be awesome if we could replace the dots in our URL with dogs.
Yeah, you could.
Oh, like the little move.
There needs
icon.
To be at least one dot. I mean, you could do hot dog, dog, net, dog, dog, net, dog, 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 net, dog, dot, hotdognet.com, and it would work.
No, that was two dots, though. That's the problem. I want it to be hotdognet.com.
Okay. So no dots at all.
No dots.
Okay.
No so dots up at any time.
If you did register that .com and somebody typed that in, Google would probably try to load the .com version of it. So, yeah, I think all right. That's your project for this week, is to register that domain. Let's see.
Fred Levi says, the white sword isn't a sweet sword. The magical sword, now that's a sweet sword. You can tell it's sweet because it's the only one pictured at an angle. And Graythin, we got to talk to Graythin about this because he's very much defending that he's right. He's right and I'm right and you guys are wrong.
No.
What is it?
Oh, he's saying that 4th edition is not any more like a video game than anything else. Because WoW is derived from 1st edition AD&D, and to say that 4th edition is reminiscent of WoW is to kind of miss the point, is the major thrust of his argument.
I would want to hear a defense of WoW being based on
Well, maybe you'll get one. Maybe we'll hang out with Graythin and he'll give a defense.
WoW is based on EverQuest, which was based on
Daiku Mud.
Yeah, Muds, which were definitely based on D&D. Like, there's definitely a chain of succession, right?
Okay, but...
that said, like, it is definitely a gut feeling of mine that early D&D was, like, a collection of crazy systems that you could sort of apply however you wanted.
Yeah.
And 4th edition D&D, which I've not played a lot of, so, you know, I'm definitely an outsider here. Looking at the character sheet, I was like, wow... this is a character sheet for World of Warcraft because it has a bunch of abilities and I'm playing a fucking warrior. What? Like, I have like abilities that I can use once a battle and once a day and, you know, at will and stuff like that. And I was like, these are my buttons and these are the cooldowns.
And there is nothing inherently video gamey about that is the argument that I'm making. And the argument
I'm saying that it is the notion of inherently video gamey and directly descendant of ripping off the interface of World of Warcraft, like, not ripping off, but like it was as if I was playing World of Warcraft with a miniature and a character sheet. That's the difference.
Would you say that the spell book of a first level magic user, no, say a 10th level magic user, was any less a list of actions that you could perform?
Yes, I would say that because. With the abilities and the figures...
Definitionally a list of actions that you could perform.
No, but listen. So, like, you have a miniature and you have a list of abilities that you can... No, every character has a list of abilities that they can use and you've got a little miniature on a grid. I felt like, okay, these are the things... These are my options. I can't say, well, what I'd really like to do is, like, run up the side of this wall and kick the guy in the side of the head with a flying kick because that's not on my character
sheet. But you absolutely can do that.
Can you?
Yes.
How?
Ask the fucking Dungeon Master is how.
Okay,
it's a goddamn storytelling game, right, so you can still do whatever you want.
That was in none of the, like, presentation of the game to me as a character.
But it wasn't in the presentation of 1st edition D&D either.
Because there were no abilities.
Abilities. There were fucking Magic Missile is a goddamn
ability. It's a spell, but that is, like, one, you cast it, and then you, like, it is out of your brain, you have to do something else. Right? Like, there was nothing that you were like, okay, this, if I have no other resources at me, I use my at will ability.
I cannot make the argument that it is systemically different, but I think I think that it is, you're thinking about it in the wrong way when you say that it is like a video game.
The fact that I'm not alone in this observation
makes you right.
No,
you know who's awesome? Britney Spears.
The fact that I'm not alone in this observation makes it so that I know that I'm not just crazy. Right, so there's definitely people who feel like there's a correlate.
We need to wrap this podcast up so that I can go drink some Bud Light. No, seriously, like I know like a ton of dudes who are like, oh, this Bud Light, fuck yeah, it's delicious. I'm serious, guys.
But I'm not saying that it makes me right.
Uh-huh.
I'm saying it does not make me crazy.
I'm not saying it makes you crazy either. I'm just saying that I disagree.
Okay.
It's okay for us to disagree, buddy.
It is. We do it a lot.
Man, it was great when the crazy tweakers next door were yelling at each other, and then you and I were yelling at each other, and then Riff came out and started yelling at Roy. It was like, stop doing your art wrong, Roy. I don't like the way you're arting, Roy.
Yeah, I want to see you draw more pictures of dicks coming out of butts, and Roy.
Butts Not more butts coming out of dicks, because that is bullshit.
Out of dicks and butts coming out of turds. Anyway, Winter Bay asked how we feel about Let's Plays and stuff, and I'd say that we just talked about that.
I'm all about it. The stuff that Super Great Friend is doing on supergreatfriend.com is pretty great.
Mm. I've never watched it.
And friendly.
So I have no idea.
Graythin also agrees with me about Diablo 3 builds, so I'm going to go hang out with my friend Graythin.
Yeah.
You guys can sit around.
And you two are both definitely in the minority.
You guys can sit around pretending to have character builds in Diablo 3 and say, I'm not going to play World of Dungeons and Dragons.
At BlizzCon, there was like a discussion about this, right? So they were like, I was contending, because I hadn't actually tested this. I was like, if you can actually change your... talents mid-combat, that definitely does not seem like a build to me, right? And apparently in the sort of earliest Diablo 3 beta, you could. And so they are looking at currently changing it to a situation where you can only change in town or only change out of combat.
Right. But they, I mean, their problem there is that out of combat doesn't necessarily mean
as much
in Diablo 3. It's not
well, it doesn't mean as much.
It's not as quantum a state,
right,
in Diablo 3 as it is in
WoW. But have they said, or did they say at BlizzCon when D3 comes out, or is that still up in the air?
It's when it's done,
early
right?
Next year.
The early, okay. early 2K12.
I think it was supposed to come out earlier, and they pushed it back because they didn't feel like it was ready. Which yeah. You know, it will come out when it's
that's,
done.
That's great. I mean, I love that it will be done and awesome when it is yeah. released. I don't know. I'm not
twitching.
I'm tapping Skyrim,
and you're gonna be playing Skyrim.
Skyrim will be out.
You have got so much. Like I have so much media to consume that like things could come out 20 years from now and be like, sweet.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Well, I'm kind of fiending for a new game right now.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Play Cross Stitch Quest. Cross scribble knots.
Hmm.
Knots and crosses.
You should have
single player tic tac toe.
I got that Merlin. I got that Merlin gaming computer from the 70s that you can totally play tic tac toe on if you need a new game to play. It's got a pretty robust tic tac toe strategy.
Oh,
It will rock your socks off. Daisy Maisie says, "Hey guys, this person was drunk when they wrote this. I'm really just writing to say thank you so much. Thanks to all the knowledge I've gained from your podcast, I totally nailed a job interview last week, and I'm now officially a video games tester. They asked about my gaming experience, and every single thing I said I either got from your podcast or playing KOL. So if you're ever in Scotland, I'll buy you all a pint as
thanks." Awesome.
We have to said share a anything single... that qualifies as knowledge?
We have to share a single pint between us?
I really want to go to Scotland. I want... When the next time I'm in England, I really want to go to the Macallan Distillery.
Okay.
Mm. That's like one of my new goals.
We should go to England.
We should paint our faces
blue. I miss
blue.
England.
We're thinking
Yeah, you should go
there.
With us on the coast-to-coast England hike. You want to go to England and go on a 200-mile hike? That seems like the kind of thing you'd want to do.
You're
you can do it 5
this.
Minutes I at mean, a time, Riff.
Yeah.
You just run for 5 minutes.
That might be possible.
And then drink a beer.
It's walking. It's not running.
Yeah, okay. When were you thinking of doing?
Next summer.
Next summer.
Oh, sure. I can do that by then. Sure. Okay.
Anyway, she continues, "I'm assuming Daisy Maisie is a lady. Also, as it's a questions thread, I'm now doing games testing 30 hours a week and studying full-time for a master's in software development, so I'm pretty much glued to various computers all day, every day. Got any advice on how not to destroy my hands/eyes doing this? Don't take up indoor rock climbing if you don't want to destroy your hands, because that'll just make it worse."
So I would actually say the opposite of that. I would say make sure that you're doing something that's a physical activity that is not computer-related, right? Like
get a standing desk.
No, I think that is the opposite of something that is a computer activity.
What?
I would say that
no,
you should
play a game.
Play a game out in the world that involves running around.
Ultimate horseball. Pony frisbee.
Involves, you know, bike to work. You could, you know, like take up ultimate frisbee. You could.
I don't think they have ultimate frisbee in Scottsdale, Scotsland.
I think they might have a version of it.
There's probably a version of it with a kilt.
Have sex with a lady in the woods, have her wrap a kilt around you, and then her dad is mad, and then later a flaming arrow gets shot into his thatched roof cottage, and then somebody cuts her throat.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's a way to stay in shape.
Yeah.
Competitive blue face painting.
I was about to say.
Yeah, there you go.
Freedom!
Yeah, get gutted in public.
Because then you'll be ripped.
Yeah. Oh.
Ripped.
No, I think that one of the major problems with RSI or whatever is that people, to the exclusion of all other activities, sit in front of a computer. If you start feeling any twinges in your arms, stop immediately and take a break.
Yeah, but you can't do that if you're at work.
Yes,
right?
You can. Especially if you're at work, because...
You say, "Hey, you better let me take a break or I'm going to sue you." It is critical to the interests of the company that I go out into the courtyard and jack off.
Also a repetitive activity.
Just take up smoking so that you've got an excuse for
you take a lot
of 10
breaks.
Minutes.
That's what I always did. Yeah. I've never really had any RSI problems despite doing computer stuff, but I also never had a job where 30 hours a week I had to like run into a wall, every corner of this level.
I feel like you and I
geometry.
Are really fidgety. Yeah. I feel like we sort of by virtue of the fact that like I can't stop my like leg from shaking all the time, and I'm like always moving my hands around and stuff like that. I think that helps tremendously in avoiding just for like 3 or 4 hours at a time doing the exact same task.
It's like you're always putting on a one-man show where two sort of disabled cream-colored spiders are just running around all over the place. It's weird.
Yeah.
You're always wearing these black bodysuits and nothing but your hands are visible. And you do some Matrix pinball.
Ping pong?
Ping pong, yeah. That's what I was thinking.
That's weird that entered into the zeitgeist.
RNG He Hate Me writes, I'm catching up on the podcast, and your Eye of the Beholder 2 gameplay discussion made me cry. Putting aside the fact that the Gold Box and Eye of the Beholder series are my might and magic series, I was so frustrated listening to you guys talk about the forest and how there was nothing in it. Kevin specifically complained that all he got out of the graveyard was bones. I thought you might put it together when Aaron mentioned the Resurrection Center, but he asked if anyone used it, and everyone said no. But basically, you get awesome NPCs if you resurrect those bones.
Oh dude. Well.
Wait. The bones that, like, half of your party says that they're gonna, like, abandon you if you dig up? Like, yeah. I felt like that was the wrong thing to do because of the stuff that my player characters were saying.
He says, but I do agree that the maze puzzles were very frustrating and relied heavily on all the panels looking the same. Yeah, I mean, maybe you dig up the bones and resurrect a new priest to replace the priest that leaves your party because of you dug up those bones.
So the woman who left the shrine or whatever and ran off into the forest, was she like buried and suddenly became a bunch of bones? Was that, like, because there was a fucking woman who, it was in the shrine, and she's like, I gotta go look for my, you know, daughter or whatever that's missing. And so she ran out back into the forest, which I then exhaustively explored, and she was nowhere there. Huh. Right? She was not there. There was nothing else except for those angry dogs that wouldn't let you pet them, and had no fucking idea what was going on. That's why I was so angry. And yeah, I never got to the Resurrection Center. So, like, maybe...
I mean, I found the Resurrection Center, but I found the Resurrection Center while I was in the middle of what I thought I was doing was fucking around.
Like when you went upstairs and they had to kill all the priests or
yeah.
whatever?
Yeah. I was like, ah, let's see what happens if I ignore these priests and go upstairs anyway. Oh, shit, I get to kill them all. All right.
Yeah, that...
Cool.
That did not seem like the right...
The game very much makes you feel like it's the wrong thing to do. I mean, maybe in the manual it's like, don't trust those priests.
Yeah, it was very weird. Very, very weird.
Well, you know, this show's running kind of long. I think we could be done answering listener mails at this point.
Oh, yeah?
How would somebody send us a mail if they wanted to send us a mail, Kevin?
They should... Oh, shit.
How would somebody turn off their goddamn phone alarm if they needed to record a podcast?
It's on silent. It does not respect it for the fucking alarm.
Yeah, which is good. That's good actually because I don't want to not wake up. So here's the thing: if I put my phone on silent because I don't want somebody calling me in the middle of the night waking me up, I'll just never wake up because if my alarm doesn't go off.
Rip Van Silent Alarm. well, okay, so you
no,
could
Gus Van Sant.
You could tweet us. @VGHotDog. You could email us, VGHotDog@gmail.com. You could check out our website and therefore our forums at videogameshotdog.com.
No, don't listen to that. It's not funny when you do ones that don't work. We already gave a good one earlier.
Okay. does nothing videogameshotdog dot
no.
anything work?
Nope.
Oh.
I mean, well, okay, www.videogameshotdog.com.
Just
is that
dub,
funny?
Dub.
Yeah, is that funny?
That's the only one?
It's pretty funny.
You didn't make it so that...
I think it's a hilarious joke. No, I didn't have the idea until later.
Okay.
I don't know. I could maybe do something with a C name, with an A record, with an MX if we wanted to get mail.
Huh.
I don't know anything about DNS, man.
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
So that's how you should get a hold of us.
I guess that's it. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Have a great weekend, everybody.